Anthropic just made a move that has almost nothing to do with artificial intelligence and almost everything to do with Wall Street. On June 7th, they filed for an IPO. 3 days later, they announced Claude Fable 5, their most powerful model yet, and quietly buried the detail that it would be removed from unlimited subscription plans on June 22nd. That sequence is not a coincidence, and that tension between a genuinely impressive model and the business machinery surrounding it is what defined this entire week. Let's start with the model itself, because it is real and it is good. Fable 5 is built on the Mythos architecture, which is the more powerful underlying system Anthropic has been keeping close to its chest. Mythos itself is still restricted, currently only available to a small group of security research partners through something called Project Glasswing. Fable is the version with the guardrails on. It automatically falls back to Opus 4.8 when you ask about cybersecurity, biology, chemistry, or anything that trips its safety thresholds. That's worth knowing before you build a workflow around it. On SWE Bench, the standard agentic coding benchmark, Fable 5 scores 80% compared to 69% for Opus 4.8. That's a meaningful jump. But what's interesting is that almost none of the creators this week spent much time on benchmarks. The conversation moved immediately to a more practical question. When does the extra capability actually justify the cost? Because here's the catch. Fable 5 costs roughly double what Opus does, $10 per million input tokens, 50 per million output. And after June 22nd, it's pay-as-you-go API only. No more included in your max plan. Brian Kasel tested it against a real business project, not a toy demo, building a feature extension for an existing Rails app that monitors trending topics across YouTube, Reddit, and LinkedIn. His observation was sharp. Fable's biggest advantage wasn't in execution. It was in the planning phase. The model asked clarifying questions before starting, explored the existing code base, and delivered something that needed far less refinement than usual, specifically because he gave it clear verification criteria up front. The refinement loop shrank. That's the actual value proposition. Mark Kashef came to the same conclusion from a different angle. His video laid out a concrete workflow. Use Fable at high effort for planning and specification, drop to Opus or Sonnet for execution, then bring Fable back at lower effort settings for verification and edge case checking. He pointed out that Fable 5 Medium already beats Opus 4.8 Max on most tasks, which means you're not even paying full price to get most of the benefit. Cole Medden had named this pattern in a live Q&A earlier in the week. He called it model stacking. And it's now becoming something close to consensus among the people who actually build with these tools for a living. The skill is no longer which model is best. The skill is routing the right task to the right model at the right cost. Melvinx, a French creator, ran Fable 5 hard enough to spend over $400 on Claude in a single day while migrating an application from one database stack to another. His takeaway was that the model is genuinely powerful, but his warning was structural, not technical. He made a direct case against single vendor dependency. If your entire workflow is built around one provider, you're one pricing change away from a crisis. That's not paranoia. That's exactly what's happening right now. Which brings us to the business analysis that stood out most this week. The channel IAAT Strategy published what was essentially a financial autopsy of the Fable rollout. Their argument, the switch from unlimited access to usage-based billing isn't a technical necessity. It's a margin improvement strategy timed specifically around the IPO filing. Anthropic's current profitability numbers, around 5% margin on $11 billion in revenue, are reportedly propped up by temporary data center discounts from their Memphis facility that expire in June. Once those discounts go away, the economics change. The metering of Fable 5 is the response. The safety narrative, Anthropic also published a warning about recursive self-improvement, and called for a global pause on AI development, which Fireship and Theo both noted arrived 3 days after the IPO filing. Reads, in that context, more like positioning than pure principle. That's a cynical read, but it's a coherent one. Nate Herc took the opposite position on the AGI question. He built an entire video around Anthropic's internal data showing Claude now succeeds on 76% of open-ended tasks, up from 26% 6 months ago. He's calling that AGI, defined as the ability to handle genuinely ambiguous, open-ended problems autonomously. Fireship was skeptical. Theo was skeptical. The honest answer is that the benchmark is real, the trajectory is real, and what it means is still genuinely contested. Now, all of this Claude coverage had a natural counterweight this week, and it came in the form of Hermes. Hermes is an open-source agent framework, MIT-licensed, runs locally, connects to whatever model you want through OpenRouter. It gained serious traction this week across multiple channels. Tech. With Tim published a complete beginner course. Julian Goldie demonstrated 5 concrete use cases, including running an entire SEO workflow from a single dashboard, with specialized agents handling keyword research, content creation, internal linking, and publishing, all coordinated through a shared memory layer built on Obsidian. Brian Castle explained his actual setup. Hermes handles background automation tasks like monitoring SEO health and managing code repositories, while Claude handles the creative and high judgment work. 2 tools, 2 roles. No single point of failure. The most practically useful framing came from Bart Slodichka. His suggestion, use the remaining days of Fable 5 access in your subscription to train local Hermes setups. Document the workflows, the skills, the configurations, so that when Fable exits the plan, you have a local system running on something like Gemma 4 that can handle the routine work. That's not just a tip. That's a migration plan. It operationalizes the lock-in concern into something actionable. Speaking of Gemma 4, Google's 12B model got quiet but consistent attention this week. WorldUFAI, Tim Karambat, and Bart Slodichka all ran independent tests on consumer hardware. The 12B QAT version, that's quantization-aware training, fits in about 7.5 gigabytes, runs on a 16 gigabyte Mac Mini, and handles coding tasks with surprising competence. It's not beating frontier models, but it's running locally, offline, at zero marginal cost, and it's getting better. Nobody framed this as a dramatic event. It's more like watching a tide come in. Cole Medden also demonstrated Google's Agent CLI and ADK framework as a production agent workflow that has nothing to do with Anthropic. He built a complete data querying agent, deployed it to Google Cloud, without typing a single terminal command himself, using Claude Code to orchestrate the entire setup process. His broader point, frameworks like Google's ADK are more token efficient than provider SDKs, which matters at production scale. The ecosystem for building agents outside of Anthropic's tooling is genuinely mature now. Melvinks published something else worth mentioning, an open source CLI tool that migrates your entire Claude configuration, skills, agents, settings, to Codex in under 5 seconds with a single command. The tool creates symlinks so everything works on both platforms simultaneously. That's the kind of practical infrastructure that only gets built when people are serious about not being locked in. One video this week stood completely apart from everything else, and it's the one I keep thinking about. David Shapiro published what amounts to a game-theoretic analysis of what happens to democratic structures when automation removes labor's bargaining power. His argument is historical and structural. Throughout civilization, workers had what he calls a credible threat, the ability to withhold labor, to strike, to make the cost of suppression higher than the cost of concession. That's how rights get won. Voting rights, weekends, workplace safety. Not through moral persuasion, but through leverage. His thesis is that automation doesn't just change employment. It removes the mechanism by which ordinary people have historically extracted concessions from concentrated power. He's working on a book called Credible Threats, and the research he presented, including the finding that nonviolent resistance succeeds at roughly double the rate of violent resistance, and that 3.5% active participation in coordinated action has historically never failed, is the kind of thing that deserves more than a YouTube comment section. This sat completely outside the week's main cluster of tool reviews and model comparisons, but it's asking the question that underlies all of it. The week was full of smart people optimizing workflows, routing models, building migration paths, arguing about whether Fable 5 is worth the price. All of that is real and useful. But Shapiro's frame asks something different. What happens when the people building these systems, and the people displaced by them, no longer have the structural leverage to shape what comes next? The model stacking, the open source alternatives, the migration helpers, the financial analysis of Anthropic's IPO timing, all of it points to the same underlying instinct. People are trying to stay mobile, to not be owned by any single vendor, to preserve optionality in a moment when the ground is shifting fast enough that last month's best tool might be this month's expensive liability. That instinct is correct. The question is whether individual optionality is enough, or whether the changes accumulating in these weekly recaps add up to something that requires a different kind of response entirely.